Welcome everyone to this working party for meeting number 7 on October 8, 2015. May I remind you to please mute your mics if you're not speaking. And I think that from our last call, the only issue we needed to... Oh, well, of course, there are a couple of issues, but the most significant issues to review in this call are the results of the poll, which I have forwarded to the group, and it was an overwhelming no to having a reference to any kind of document in the proposed text to be suggested to be added into the bylaws. So I think that gives closure now, official closure, to that discussion. And we will not be suggesting to refer or to reference any special or any single or multiple documents on human rights in this amendment to the bylaws. So the next step for this call, I think it would be to go through the document that Niels and Tatiana were working on. And I think that we are almost there. I see some comments that have been made today, many comments by Greg that I hadn't seen before. So I think these are like the most or the latest comments. So I see Marcus Coomer hand this up. Marcus, would you like to take the floor?
Yes, thanks. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Marcus.
Yes, thanks. Now, my question is just what are actually the rules of procedure? Yes, there was a majority against it, but there was no consensus around it. I mean, there was a, you could call it a strong minority arguing in favor of a reference to the UDHR. And I say this, I don't want to be awkward, but based on my experience, it is very difficult to find language that suits everyone. And we had the beginning of the discussion the other night. And the reference to the UDHR makes things much easier on finding language. That's my question. But the essential point is, what are the rules of procedures? Are we talking about majority or consensus here?
Thank you very much for this, Marcus. I would say that we are talking neither, because we are actually not deciding finally. We were just having this poll as a reference for our work on drafting the bylaw language that we would be suggesting to the larger group so they can review and they can, in fact, approve. So while we have closed this discussion on whether to point to any given or a certain document on human rights in our proposed bylaw text, this could also be reopened, of course, when we go back to the larger group. But this is something that the group at large needs to actually decide. So I wouldn't say that we either have consensus nor rough consensus nor a majority or whatever expression signaling to approval, because we are not supposed to be deciding for the group. I don't know if that makes sense, Marcus.
Okay, thanks for the explanation.
Thank you. Next on the queue, I have Greg Chatham.
Thanks, Leon. I was going to note that this is not a decisional group, but I think you took care of that. So obviously we'll need to see what the decisional group, which is the CCWG, has to say about this. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Greg. I had a couple of difficulties hearing. Could you please repeat what you said?
I said that I was going to note that this is not a decisional group, so talking about anything as if it were a decision is misplaced. But I think you touched on that already. Clearly, you know, this is something that's an option that we need to put in front of the full group. It should be included in our options section as such so that the full group can consider it.
Okay, so we're in the same page. Next on the queue, I have Tatiana.
Thanks a lot, Leon. Tatiana Tropina speaking for the record. If we are speaking about strong minorities and options, I would also like to have on the record that I would like to include into this option the results of the poll where six, I think, people expressed their opinion that three documents actually have to be added and not only Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So I would like to have this in the results as well, because I believe it's a strong minority. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. I think that this is something that we can forward to the larger group when we finalize our document. So, yes, I wouldn't oppose to actually including this, because it would reflect of what we actually did in our working party. So I'm happy to have it added. So now we could go through the different comments that were made to the document that was originally set up by Niels and Tatiana. And I see that the most prolific commenter is Greg Shatten. So maybe, Greg, would you like to walk us through the comments that you made to the document?
Sure. First, I felt that we needed to express with much more specificity you know, what the results of the comments were. So I took significant extra time before making these comments to not only go through the comment tool, but where it wasn't completely obvious from what was in the comment tool, went back to each of the individual comments to determine what the position of the commenter was. So that was the basis for all of the changes here in the introduction, so that we could kind of appropriately keep score, if you will, of where the comments were coming out. I think that the impressionistic the initial impression that was given by the initial draft, I think, wasn't entirely supported by more by a deeper dive into the comments. So, since we're trying to neutrally report what the results of the comments were, I went in and did this work. So, I think that, you know, we can go through, you know, specifically. I've tried, not in the introduction, but further down the page, to footnote the specific comments that are being referred to. So, you know, if anybody wants to check my work, they can go ahead. I think generally it's good for the other people reviewing this outside of the working parties to know which comments the kind of the results come from. So, I've noted that many but not all of the analyses being worked on in other groups include some way of finding out which comments were relied on in a particular topic. Some did not, others did. So this, I'm not sure exactly what needs to be said. Funny, I see Neil changing these. I actually had them as words. Tatiana changed them to numerals. Neil's is changing them back. So in any case, happy to hear what other people think about any of these points here in the in the introduction section.
Thank you very much for this, Greg. I have gone through the changes that you suggested in the introduction section, and I find them. I'm in agreement with those proposed changes. Of course, it would be best to hear from other participants as well. I don't know, maybe Niels or Tatiana have something to add or something to say. Tatiana?
Yes, well, basically, I would like to thank Greg for doing this great job of attributing the points to the comments, and this is something which we didn't do. I mean, we did rather impressionist job in drafting this document. So just thank you, Greg, and I agree with all the attributions. So I think the document really benefited significantly from this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. So just for the sake of having it, of course, agreed in the working party, I would like to go through each of the sections of the document, read them very quickly, and, of course, since the temperature, whether we can actually be or go closing sections in the document. So the first one being the introduction, I feel like we already have agreement that this section is okay to go, although I see some live editing as we speak. But, just going through the introduction very quickly, is that during the comment period of the second draft report of the CCWG on accountability, several comments have been made on human rights language. And 11 out of 23 comments that address this point support inclusion of some language on human rights as part of Workstream 1, but there was no consensus on what that language should be. Two comments supported the inclusion of such language, but stated that this work should be part of Workstream 2. One comment stated that it would not oppose inclusion of human rights language. Then the next bullet, 10 comments that addressed this point did not support inclusion of human rights language as part of Workstream 1. More specifically, 5 out of 23 comments did not support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. One commenter stated that it would not actively oppose the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. In addition, 2 comments did not support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws as part of Workstream 1. Finally, 2 comments did not express either support or opposition for the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. And here I have a question for the pen holders on the document. When we say that some commenters said that this would not fit into Workstream 1, we have 2 comments that do not support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws as part of Workstream 1. Is one of these 2 comments from the board? Because in our LA meeting, the board agreed to having human rights as a matter of Workstream 1. And I feel like we could signal to this, although we are, of course, obliged to reflect the public comments as we receive them. I think that we should also maybe insert a footnote into this part of the bullet in which we could state that from these 2 comments, one corresponds to the board, and as per our LA meeting, this would no longer apply as things stand. So I don't know if that makes sense. And I see Greg's hand is up. Greg?
First, to answer the process question, I just looked at the board's comment and did not reflect Los Angeles. So based on the board's comment, I put them into the did not support bucket. If I guess I'd have to go back to the – I don't recall the board's exact statement on human rights from Los Angeles. Somehow that meeting isn't recalled with total clarity by me. But, you know, if that's what they said, you know, I think it would be a good idea if we have the transcript to excerpt the language so that we give a sense of where the board actually came out. I would say, by the way, that some of the comments were harder to classify than others. The first time I went through just the public comment tool, I had 6 or 7 that were not able to be classified one way or the other. I was able to resolve nearly all of them by going back to the actual comment in question. For instance, the excerpt from Avery's comment did not state whether or not she supported it. Clearly, I would have expected that she supported it. When I went back to the full comment, that she did, in fact. So I moved her over. I was hoping that I could have eliminated all of the did not comments, but two just did not express an opinion one way or the other. Those were the ones that are left in that bucket. And then just so you know, JP next said they did not oppose or would not oppose. I classified that as support. On the other hand, Aura said they would not actively oppose, and I classified that as did not support. And the only other one that was a little bit tough to characterize was, or that was tougher than the rest, was Malcolm Huddy's comment, surprisingly, which basically was opposed to any proposal that we had in front of us, but without supporting his own statement, said that to the extent that it was necessary to do so, that something like that human rights either is reflected, already reflected, or should be reflected in the core values. So while I scored that as did not support, that may be a little bit reductive.
Thank you very much, Greg. So as Greg suggested, I think it would be good to have the actual transcript of that part of the LA meeting just to check on the language that was actually agreed upon. And I would kindly ask staff as an action item to rescue that part of the transcript and send it to the list so we could review it and see whether we would be including some kind of footnote just to signal that even though we received that comment from the board originally, their position shifted as per the early meeting. So next we have 23 of 92 submissions address human rights specifically, and I think that this was something that we had discussed in our previous call. But I'm not sure, and I might be mistaken, but I think that we were in agreement to close the numbers to those to those comments actually received, and not the larger number of comments received overall. But that might, of course, be just my interpretation. And I'm not sure if that's the case. I mean, in any case, I don't think that it's something that really modifies very much what we have to say. So then 3 of the 92 submissions were against the second draft proposal overall, without specifically mentioning the Human Rights Fund. And 7 out of 23 comments supported option 2, which states within its mission and its operations, will be committed to respect internationally recognized fundamental human rights. Then the last bullet of the introduction, 1 comment supported option 1 within its mission and in its operations. ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. And I believe this is Ed Morris. Yes, this is Ed Morris. Okay, so is there any opposition to have this section of the document declared good to go, I mean closed, for further reviews? Or are we good to go? Okay, so I see no one opposing to having the introduction closed, only subject to the transcript from the related part of the early meeting with regards to the board comment on human rights. Then next section is areas of consensus, in which we have 11 out of 23 comments that address this issue, supported the inclusion of a commitment to human rights in ICANN's bylaws as part of Workstream 1. One comment stated that it would not oppose inclusion of such language. Then we have the part that addresses the poll, I think, and it reads, Working Party 4 agreed with draft consensus on the following text to be added to the bylaws. So here we are talking about what we would actually be proposing, and it says, within its mission and its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized human rights law. And under brackets, we have, of course, reflected in the UDHR, ICCPR, and ICESCR. So I think that this pretty much solves the discussion on whether we should be signaling or not, and the way we presented to the larger group. If we explain that the bracket section is, of course, one alternative that could be taken into account, that must be discussed by the larger group, I think we could have actually our proposed text for the bylaws. And just to make sure, are we in agreement that this could be, in fact, the proposed bylaw suggested amendment? I don't know if that's an old hand or a new hand, Greg.
Two things. One, I think this section should be in our options section, since it's not anything that really discusses the consensus between commenters and our written report. So that's why I've highlighted the whole thing to move it off into the options section, so that, you know, this section is just neutral reportage of the comments. The options section is where we get to let loose, unless we want to create an additional section, you know, just for discussion of the language or something along that line. You know, in one of these I had to diverge because there was a written minority comment on which people commented, so couldn't really put that under divergence or any of the Zuck Del Bianco categories. And then last and least, just a note that we should, the first time we use abbreviations, especially those other than the UDHR, we should put in a footnote or something, you know, spell it out for the acronym challenged.
Thank you very much, Greg, and I do agree with you that it might be better fit in the document that we place the highlighted text on the proposed bylaw change and how we reached some kind of, I don't want to say consensus, but decision or proposal in with regards to signaling to any given document on human rights to be on the CCWG options for consideration. I think it would be better put there than where it is at present moment. So I I see that Tatiana has is in agreement with this proposal too, and I see Niels hand is up. Niels, could you please take the floor?
Sorry, I'm muted now. This is me first time speaking, so good evening, everyone. This is Niels Snooper for the record. First, I would definitely like to thank Greg a lot for his great comments, which made the document much more precise and much better. So thanks a lot for that, Greg. That's really the spirit in which we want to work, so it's super. What I have a question about, methodologically wise, is if we're going to put our own analysis under options, then I'm getting a bit confused, right? Because what we are working on now is our analysis based on the comments that were made. So, and I think that we shouldn't put our analysis as options, but we can give options that have come out of our analysis and discussion of the issues brought up. Right? Or am I thinking wrongly? I'm curious what you think.
Thank you very much, Niels. What we have done in other working parties is to put under options for CCWG consideration, of course, what we think that the CCWG at large should need to consider based on our comment assessment. And, of course, if we would like to suggest any other discussion topics, we should definitely include them in that section. I don't know if that answers your question.
I'm thinking, could you perhaps repeat it so I have a bit more time to think, or maybe Greg can elaborate a bit more on it.
Yes, I'll go to Greg. Greg?
Thanks. To be more precise about what I've seen other working parties do in this situation is to take the options that were expressed in the comments, put them in the options section as bullet points, and then to put any analysis, improvements, changes, additional commentary, in italics without a bullet point to distinguish them so it's clear when the working party is speaking as opposed to when the working party is channeling the comments. So I agree with Niels that making no differentiation between the times when we're acting as spirit mediums and channeling the comments and when we're actually snapping out of our trance and communicating our own thoughts should not be confusable or highly confusable. So suggest that when we move our commentary to the options section, that we set it off in italics and not bullet pointed, so that it's clear that it's commentary, and I think that'll follow the standard that's been set in most of the other documents. Obviously, any massively parallel process is going to have some deviations, but that's how I suggest that we do it. And if we want to drop a footnote that the italicized statements are statements of the working party, but I think it'll be pretty clear once we do it. But let's see how it looks. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. And I like the idea that you're proposing. And if there is no opposition to that, I suggest we go the way suggested by you. So next on the queue, I have Tatiana.
I have one more question.
Yes, Neil. Please go ahead.
In terms of clarification, sorry to bulge in, but so are we then going to bring up points of our own? Because the way I see it right now is that we have a reaction in the area of consensus to a specific comment, right? And it's really made super clear, because we're already doing it in italics there, that we came up with a specific option in relation to a specific comment. So if you want to then bring it under options, would we then
I think we lost you, Niels. I am unable to hear you.
The comments and providing analysis based on that. Or do you suggest that we move this whole bullet point down to options, including with our comments? You know, so because I think they somehow belong together, right? Because one is a reaction to the other, and then I think these remain together to make it really clear for the reader what it meant.
Just to answer that briefly, I think in other groups where there's been, let's say, an area of refinement that also consists of an option to be considered by the CCWG, it was reported without commentary under areas needed refinement and then listed again under options for consideration with commentary.
Thank you very much, Niels. Thank you very much, Greg. So I will now go to Tatiana.
Hi again, Tatiana Chupina speaking for the record. Greg, I have another question for clarification because I'm a bit lost now. We drafted this document using the doc, the Word doc you sent us, and it was my understanding that there was some summary or assessment of the comments in the bullet points in each section. So, from your comments to the document, I see that some of the bullet points can stay as neutral summary and some of them will go to the end of the document for consideration. Now I'm a bit lost. So is anything in italic will stay after comments like in areas of consensus, in areas needing refinement and wherever, or everything will go to consideration? And if not everything will go to consideration, where is the silver line between what stays and what goes? I'm a bit lost. If you can briefly answer my question, it would be very helpful. If not, then, well, thanks anyway.
Thanks. I think I can clarify this. Anything that we are reporting as being in the comments should stay in the areas of consensus, refinement, or divergence. Any one of those, typically would be under refinement, perhaps divergence. Any of those that also constitutes an option for consideration would be repeated in the options section, along with any analysis or commentary or original thinking of the working party. The idea is to leave the three areas of sections as being pure reportage, neutral reporting out, and to have the options section consist of a combination of the options to be actively considered by the CCWG plus any additional analysis and commentary by the WP that's either, directly responsive to any of those options or that is, more generally based on consideration of the comments.
Thank you very much for this, Greg. I hope this clears your doubt, Tatiana.
Yes, absolutely. Now it's much more understandable for me. And but then it's all about moving the assessment like from one section to another, right? And then I would suggest that maybe we will move to the text of the assessment because there are some language we propose, and we don't know if the group will agree with this assessment or disagree with this assessment. So if we can agree that Greg or Leon or whoever would rearrange the structure of the document, I'm fine with this. I would suggest that maybe we'll move to substance then. Thanks.
I'm happy to, after this call, suggest where everything should be moved to. I don't think I have edit rights, but I can do it as suggestions. Then everyone else can see where everything went, and whoever has edit rights can accept it, subject to further discussion.
Thanks, Greg. I don't know. I think that Niels is the owner of the document. So if you could enable editing permissions to those who have been commenting and are working on the document, that would be excellent, Niels. Or Tatiana, I'm not sure who is the owner of the document in Google Docs. So, okay, let's move forward. And in the areas needing refinement, we have two comments supporting inclusion of commitment to human rights, but did not support including this work in version one. Rather, these comments propose moving all consideration of this topic to version two. And I'm not sure if this is something that we could label as an area needing refinement, because I think that it's something that it really doesn't show a lot of traction. But of course, I'm happy to listen to other thoughts. And the next bullet, the next point is that 8 out of 23 common discussion that a commitment to human rights should not broaden ICANN's realm and scope of activity or mission. Then 2 out of 23 comments expressly stated that ICANN is already required to respect human rights in its operations by virtue of Article 4 of ICANN's Article of Incorporation. One comment expressly stated that Article 4 did not provide such a requirement, and one comment stated that Article 4 would need to be amended to specifically mention human rights. Then, when it comes to referral to specific documents, there is small support for mention of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 6 out of 23. And this is something important, because while we say that there is most support, I'm not sure if 6 out of 23 would be a clear signal to label this as major support to the suggestion of signaling or referring to the UDHR. So the next is that an equal number of commenters also point out that the CCWG must rely only on verbatim text from existing human rights instruments, also 6 out of 23. More details on the modalities of how ICANN integrates human rights impact analysis within its mission is needed before text can be added to bylaws, again 6 out of 23. And then a subset of this group thought this should be done in Workstream 2. This is 2 out of 6, and we have some additional text here. In addition to proposed language, Working Party 4 will provide an explanatory document which includes a rationale for adding a human rights commitment to the bylaws and an overview of the discussions on the choice of bylaw language. Furthermore, Working Party 4 will provide a template for a stress test. Further work will be undertaken in Workstream 2. Then our bullet number 7 is that new wording proposed in public comments. These are the two options, an option that was proposed by one of the commenters that says within its mission and its processes and operations, ICANN will respect and protect fundamental rights as defined in international law and applicable international conventions and local law. ICANN will also establish processes to clarify and document the rights impact of proposed policies and new operations. ICANN appeals mechanism may be used for human rights issues relevant to ICANN mission and core values, among which are freedom of expression, free flow of information, and privacy on the Internet. And here I see the note, which would be the note that us as Working Party 4 would be this would be our saying to this suggestion, and it reads, Working Party 4 believes that adding the reference to protection of human rights is inappropriate in the bylaws language. Few concerns were raised in the public comments and in the CCWG discussions about the necessity to make a clear distinction between the duty of states to protect and enforce human rights and obligations of other actors to respect human rights. While there is a general agreement that ICANN should respect human rights within its mission, external enforcement is considered highly inappropriate by Working Party 4. Any wording that might lead to demands to enforce human rights shall be avoided. Working Party 4 has discussed the language, fundamental human rights versus human rights, and decided that the latter is more appropriate. Fundamental human rights are reflected differently in several geographical areas, such as the European Charter of Fundamental Rights or the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Working Party 4 also considers adding a reference to specific rights to the bylaws text will not be appropriate. One cannot selectively mention or apply human rights because they are universal, indivisible, independent, and interrelated. So I guess I would like to call for any oppositions on this suggested text. I am absolutely in agreement with what has been put in the document in this comment by the Working Party 4, but I would like to listen if there are any oppositions. Okay, no oppositions, and I see a couple of green ticks. I see a green tick from Neil Stenover. So we can have this as something locked into a document. Then our next bullet, number 8, new wording proposed in public comments. Within its mission and in its obligations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. This is also in merits of a comment. It has comment from the Working Party 4, and this is Working Party 4 chose not to mention a specific right or several rights because one cannot selectively mention or apply human rights since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. So I guess this comes down to more or less the same agreement that we just made in the previous paragraph. And I see Greg Shatter's hand is up. So, Greg, could you please take the floor? Greg, might you be on mute?
I'm just trying to see if this is the same as option one or this is a slight variation on option one. I think this actually is option one that we proposed, so it's not new wording. Unless I'm incorrect.
Okay, so I don't have our...
I have it. It's in the last bullet point under introduction. Within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. Yeah, okay, so the way it goes.
Okay, so if it's the same, I think we could strike that part, of course, from the document if we agree.
We don't have to keep hammering it.
Okay. So next is bullet number 9, proposed reference to rights that people have offline must also be protected. Offline it says, but I think that it was meant to be online, in accordance with international human rights legal obligations, including the International Covenants on Civil and Political Rights and Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, and the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. This is 1 out of 23 comments. And here the Working Party 4 suggests to make this reference in the explanatory document to the bylaws language, but not in the bylaw itself. There is no need to refer to the equal protection of rights offline and online in bylaw, since it has been a broad agreement on these at the international level. So I think this this is also something that we should definitely be supporting. I agree with this way forward. And I don't know, I see Greg's hand is up. I don't know if that's an old hand or a new hand, Greg.
Just wondering if, in order to footnote this, if the original drafters remember whose comment this came out of.
Okay, so that would be something for Niels and Tatiana.
Looks like they're looking it up, so we might as well move on.
Sorry for intervening, I found it. It's in the chat in my comment.
That's great. Did we lose Leon, or are we just...
No, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I accidentally hit mute. But, where did you lose me? I was reading through the areas of divergence.
I did not hear any areas of divergence.
Okay, so then I was all the way on mute. I'm sorry for that. So on areas of divergence, we have 10 out of 23 comments did not express support for the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws as part of Workstream 1. And I think we can correct this. Okay. More specifically, 5 out of 23 comments did not support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. One commenter stated that it would not actively oppose the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. In addition, comments did not support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws as part of Workstream 1. Finally, 2 comments did not express either support or opposition for the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws. Then we have several comments expressed concerns about the implications and efficacy of a human rights commitment. While 2 comments mentioned that specifically mentioning free expression and the free flow of information in the bylaws is needed to ensure that free speech and the free flow of information is respected throughout ICANN's operations, 2 out of 23, others suggest broader wording to avoid human rights cherry-picking. And here we have, of course, a number to be determined out of 23, and the comment from the Working Party 4 would be that Working Party 4 chooses not to mention a specific right or several rights because one cannot selectively mention or apply human rights since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. So I guess... this is something that we are all in agreement since it's been said before. And I see Niels' hand is up. Niels, would you like to take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. It's in a reaction to the description under footnote 14. I'm not sure if that is the best representation of the opinion, because I think one could also easily turn that statement around and say that 2 comments did support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws, just not as part of Workstream 1. So I wouldn't put that under that they did not support the inclusion. I would actually say that they actually did support the inclusion, just not as part of Workstream 1, but in Workstream 2. So that's a matter of wording, which I would suggest changing.
So maybe, an alternative wording would be that two comments considered that including human rights in Workstream 1 might be something, what was the word that the board used? I don't remember. Premature.
Premature. No, because they're not, because premature is imprecise. And this was it exactly. So I offered some language suggestion in the text, which are two comments, did support the inclusion of human rights language in the bylaws, but only as part of Workstream 2. Or we can keep it, but not as part of Workstream 1. We can also keep it like that.
Okay, I see other hands up. I see Tatiana and Greg. So, Tatiana?
Thanks. Tatiana Tropina is speaking. I'm wondering, I already wrote on the chat if we have to make our assessment to express any opinion concerning these proposals to move everything as a part of Workstream 2 and so on, because we didn't express anything concerning this in the initial draft. So there is no opinion, and I would be happy to hear what other members of the group think about this.
Thank you, Tatiana. Any reactions to Tatiana's comment?
This
okay,
is
so
Greg.
Greg, you are next on the queue.
Yeah. In terms of process, if anybody supported the language but didn't mention Workstream 1 or Workstream 2, I just took that as support for the proposal, period. I'd say the majority of those who indicated support did not specifically say this must be in Workstream 1. Several did, you know, underscore that they the importance of having it in Workstream 1. Others just expressed support without saying anything about the Workstream. So I counted those all as support or convergence. Since our proposal is specifically to deal with human rights language in Workstream 1, I would still count it as an area of divergence if the commenter did not support that proposal. But I, you know, appreciate adding the nuance that they did support the overall concept, just not as part of Workstream 1. So I think, you know, we need to tease that out. But it's still divergence from our proposal.
Thank you very much, Greg. I see Neil's hand is up. I don't know if that's a... Okay, so now it's lowered. Okay, so are there any other comments as to where we are standing now? Okay, so no other comments. Let's move forward. So... I lost a bit of track of where we were reading, but I guess we are on bullet 2 of areas of divergence, which is it is believed that only states have direct human rights obligations. This is one comment out of 23. And here our comment would be that Working Party 4 recognizes that states have human rights obligations under the international law. However, while it's a duty of the state to respect, protect, and fulfill human rights, private sector is required to comply with all applicable laws related to human rights. There is a broad agreement within the group that the bylaw amendment will reaffirm ICANN's commitment to comply with the international law in its operations, which already exists in the Article 4 of ICANN's Article of Incorporation. The amendment is not aimed to impose any duty to enforce human rights. I believe that this is a very pertinent observation or a clarification, because we wouldn't want to have ICANN police any kind of human rights. Are we in agreement with this paragraph from Works Party 4 right, your hand is still up. Is that a new hand or an old hand?
It's an old hand, but I'm actually still working on the prior paragraph. I went back and looked at the two Workstream 2 comments, and they actually don't support, they just defer. So I'm going to put that in.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that, Greg. Any other comments on with regard to the area of divergence on that states are the only ones that have direct human rights obligations? Okay, so the next area of divergence would be that there's perceived risk that adding human rights to bylaws language might create demands from the civil society for human rights enforcement outside of the ICANN's mission and scope of activities. Then our comment would be Working Party 4 stresses the necessity to make it clear in the bylaw language that ICANN commits only to respecting human rights within its mission. Working Party 4 intends to avoid any bylaw wording that might lead to demands to enforce human rights. I believe that we are all in agreement with this text. So if there is any, if there is no opposition, let's say it's good to go. Okay, so the next section is options for CCWG consideration. And here we have that based on the public comments analysis, some further areas for exploration were identified, such as, first, collaboration in Workstream 2 with cross-community working party on ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to respect human rights. Our comment to this is that Working Party 4 aims to take all recommendations, suggestions, and comments into consideration and invites everyone to join the work as described in the CCWG procedure documents. I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. David McCauley here. I think I was having a hard time putting my hand up. I may have had the same problem there that Neil's had. And so I missed something as I was switching from the system to the phone. But in any event, and I just want to go back for a bit to make an observation, and that is in the section where it says the WP4 recognizes. This is the section just we spoke about just a few minutes ago that talks about only states having direct human rights obligations. There is a sentence in red there where the WP4 is commenting that we say there's broad agreement within the group that the bylaws amendment will reaffirm ICANN's commitment to comply with. The articles actually say not to comply with, but to operate in conformity with international law. I suspect there may be a slight difference, but I'm not sure. I just wanted to note it, though. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And this has been edited as we speak by Tatiana, I think. Or no, it's the audio was back. So that's, I think that's already been fixed. So next on the queue, I have Niels. So you have an unstable connection, Niels.
No, my connection is fine, but Adobe Connect seems to be a bit unstable, and other people seem to experience the same. So I'm very sorry for the inconvenience that's causing. I would like to go back to the text we were discussing with Greg about the two comments that did not support proposal under Workstream 1. Because right now I think actually it does not represent either what they say, because they actually do support the inclusion of human rights, but not under Workstream 1. And right now it says they did not support the proposal to include human rights language.
Okay, Greg, would you like to...
Any acknowledgement that these proposals actually supported in principle to include human rights is now left from this commentary, so I think it did not necessarily get much better.
Thank you, Niels. Greg, would you like to comment on that? Either way, you are to our next on the queue, so please go ahead.
Sure. First, to respond to that, at least based on the extract in the public comment tool, the Government of Australia used a rather nuanced and neutral. We do not in principle oppose the inclusion of a reference to human rights in ICANN's bylaws, but as there is not yet an agreed definition of ICANN's role in relation to human rights, we suggest that this issue is best deferred to Workstream 2 to allow the community time to consider further. So this might be seen as support based on, you know, we do not oppose. And I think the other statement from Government of New Zealand merely says they welcome a discussion of ICANN's role and the possible inclusion of human rights as a bylaw within ICANN. So I don't see that as support. Perhaps the best thing to do is to, since these are both very nuanced statements, as befits statements by governments, we should footnote the, drop the actual language into the footnote so that we're creating too positive or too negative an interpretation of it, but just let them kind of speak for themselves. Res ipsa loquitur, as they say.
Thank you very much for this, Greg. So I think we have a way forward on this issue on the comments regarding to Workstream 1 or Workstream 2. And I see that Avery has joined us. Welcome, Avery. And we were now going through the options for CCWG consideration. And the next bullet would be adding a clause specifically noting human rights in Section 4 of
actually,
the article.
I didn't actually get to say what I had put my hand up about since I was speaking in response to Niels.
Okay, so just your next then. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. Apologies. I think, and then this is going back to the number two under areas of divergence, which, you know, we will move. I don't think it's a statement we can make unless we, you know, discuss it further at least, that there is broad agreement within the group that the bylaw amendment will reaffirm ICANN's commitment to carry out its activities in conformity with relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions, which already exist in Article 4. We had two commenters who stated that they thought that Article 4 did contain a commitment that included a commitment to human rights, and one that said it didn't, and one that said that it wouldn't unless we included more language. So I think I don't know if any of us are prepared, you know, if we're prepared as a group to issue kind of a legal opinion on how to interpret Article 4. So I don't think we've had any chance to discuss this so that we could make any statement about whether we agree with this or not, and whether this is a reaffirmation of anything or it's a new statement or what. If this changes anything that ICANN does or it doesn't, those are interesting topics. And reaffirmation is kind of an interesting topic in and of itself. So I just, this may just, require some discussion before we can figure out what we actually all think about this. I guess, you know, that's just obviously part of, you know, taking a document that, you know, and moving it from, you know, a draft by some drafters to reflect the whole group. It's just part of the process. But I am, concerned that we kind of don't overdo. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. So could we say that in these in this paragraph we could change maybe a little bit the wording so that it reads, there is broad agreement within the group that the intent, I'm gonna write as we speak that the intent for the bylaw amendment would reaffirm or would aim to reaffirm ICANN's commitment. Oops, that slipped. I'm sorry. To carry out its activities, would that read better?
Well, I don't think the bylaw amendment says anything about ICANN's commitment to international law and conventions other than the issue of human rights. So it's not really reaffirming anything, I guess, except to the extent that if you first take the position that Article 4 implicitly includes a human rights commitment to the extent that such human rights are embodied in applicable law, then this reaffirms and makes explicit ICANN's commitment to do so. But first we all have to agree or have rough consensus or something that Article 4 implicitly has that commitment in it. And, you know, we had two commenters that said yes, two commenters that said no, and 88 commenters that didn't get into such granularity. Of course, this is not just about comments. At this point, this is, you know, also independent thought. But, you know, this is a point that on which reasonable people can differ.
Okay, any other thoughts on this? Any other opinions on whether we should actually keep this sentence or we could live with striking it from this comment? I see Avery's hand is up. Avery?
Yeah, hi, this is Avery speaking again. Apologies. I'm obviously one of the ones that said it most definitely does not say that the only reason we had a commitment to freedom of expression and free flow of information before was because NTIA guaranteed those two human rights. So I think it's a false statement. I know I seem to be in a strict minority of one when I think it's a false statement, but as there are no other articles that guarantee it, there are no state laws that guarantee it for a corporation, there are no federal laws that guarantee it for a corporation, and the articles are not explicit about it, nor are the bylaws. You know, we could say we have broad agreement that it says it, but I believe we will be saying something false. Perhaps true that it's a fact that there's broad agreement, but it's not the case that it's a fact. And I think the lawyers even told us that. So, you know, if we want to say that there's broad agreement on us believing something untrue, fine.
Thank you very much, Avery. And I see Niels is being incorrect. Lawyers told us that it was, I think. Okay, so at this point, I think we should make a decision on whether we keep this sentence or whether we strike it. My suggestion would be to strike it since it apparently is creating more confusion and bringing more problems than it is solving. So would there be any oppositions to striking this sentence? And I see Tatiana's hand is up.
One moment, excuse me. Could you please clarify? Are we discussing the sentence which starts with WP4 believes or not? Just yes or no?
We are discussing the sentence. Well, actually, it's bullet two. of areas of divergence. We have the area of divergence, and then we have a comment from Working Party 4, and it says, Working Party 4 recognizes that states have human rights obligations under the international law. However, while it's a duty of the state to respect, protect, and fulfill human rights, private sector is required to comply with all applicable laws, included without limitation those related to human rights. I think that...
Sorry for confusion, because I thought that there was a drop in the audio, and I thought that another sentence concerning Article 4 was discussed. I'm not in the opposition, thanks. I suggest removing this sentence.
Okay, thank you. So are there any oppositions to strike this part of the sentence?
Sorry, which part is being struck?
The part to be stricken is this one that I've highlighted.
No objection.
No objection? Okay, so we have no objection. So I will now go ahead and strike. Done. So next bullet would be number 3, perceived risk that adding human rights to bylaws language might create demands from... Okay, so we had already gone through this, and we skipped back to this topic that we were just discussing. So I would now continue with the options for CWG consideration. And we were already in bullet 2 of these options, and it says adding a clause specifically noting human rights in section 4 of the Article of Incorporation. And our comment states that Working Party 4 believes that Article 4 of the Articles of Incorporation outlines the general obligation to carry out the activities in conformity with international conventions and local law, and there is no need to cherry-pick specific international instruments, such as those related to human rights, and provide a reference to them. Specific obligations to respect human rights should be outlined in the bylaw. Are there any comments or suggestions to enrich this text? I see a comment from Matthew Shears on chat box. It says, international law does not necessarily include human rights. It depends on interpretation, so the addition of human rights is useful. Any thoughts or comments on this? Greg, just your hands still up, or is that a new hand or no hand?
I took it down for a nanosecond because that was an old hand, and I put up a new hand, which looked exactly like the old hand, except it was new.
You're next on the queue. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's a corollary to the statement that you can't step in the same river twice. In any case, I think this language kind of has the same problem as the language we were discussing earlier and ultimately took out, that it advances a particular interpretation of Article 4. Although I am a lawyer, I'm not an international human rights lawyer. I'm just wary that we're kind of getting into kind of general, into kind of giving legal advice or making statements based on the law. And I think to the extent that they are statements based on the law in general, that's one thing, if they are settled statements. But if we're getting to interpreting the bylaws of ICANN, I think at that point we're starting to maybe cross over into something that's probably beyond our remit, though we're all having a go at it in one way or another. But I think that this just has the WP, the Article 4 problem.
Okay, so it seems that we need to have maybe some kind of discussion with our legal advisors as to how to interpret the scope of Article 4 in Articles of Incorporation. I don't know if that makes sense or this would be out of line. What are your thoughts? Would it be useful to go back to our legal advisors and ask them for some kind of interpretation of Article 4 in Articles of Incorporation? Would that make sense?
Actually, I would not suggest going in that direction. I mean, I think our position is that rather than get into question of how to interpret Article 4, that for at least for purposes of clarity, a separate statement, a separate bylaw specifically addressing human rights is the most straightforward path. At least that's kind of the approach that I would endorse, and I think that, you know, implicitly, because we aren't trying to change Article 4 and we are instead, you know, dealing with a separate bylaw, that seems to be where we're going. So I don't think there's a reason for us to wade into the issue of whether or not or to what extent Article 4 already applies to ICANN in the human rights context. We may want to get into that in our supporting document, because it's not an irrelevant issue. But I think that in terms of just at this point, you know, in terms of getting something ready for next week, you know, simply to state that, you know, we're following the CCWG's general principle of putting in a freestanding statement regarding human rights, rather than dealing with any issues of interpretation relating to Article 4. That's my thought. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Next on the queue, I have Tatiana and then Niels. Tatiana?
Thanks. Tatiana Trofina speaking for the record. I honestly do not understand the arguments about this sentence concerning human rights. It was me who drafted it, and maybe we can make it more neutral. Of course, that it doesn't provide, like, for example, obligation, but it's a commitment of the ICANN. It's not even interpretation of this article. It's just a pure quote from the Article 4 of the bylaw that ICANN should, like, carry out its activity in conformity with the international law. If you want to delete the interpretation, like, there is no need to reference specific documents, then, well, I'm fine with this. It was just a suggestion for discussion for the working group. But I don't think that this sentence refers anyhow to ICANN's commitment to respect human rights under the Article 4. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. So I would suggest, in order to move forward, that since we are reviewing the options for CCWG consideration, that we just present the option as it stands without any kind of comment or addition from our working party, because this is something that is going to be discussed, of course, by the larger group. So I would suggest that in order to move forward, we either bracket this comment or we strike it and move forward to the next point. So are there any oppositions on actually presenting this as it stands without the comment? That would mean that we would be striking the comment. Niels is asking, we cannot simply strike it and leave it unaddressed, right? And I think that we could, when presenting this to the larger group, we could comment on this, but having it in the document to be delivered could give some wrong signals to the larger group. So I would suggest that we strike this from the document, and of course, when we present this to the larger group, we provide an explanation on what we what we discussed on these calls. So are there any oppositions?
I would say not mentioning it is wrong, because it's a comment that someone made, and we cannot leave like a comment not mentioned. I think that's not giving respect to the commenters. We do not, however, need to provide a full analysis if we do not agree. What we do seem to agree on is that we want to address this in a bylaw. So let's put in the text, WP4 believes more appropriate to address this issue in the bylaw. Boom. And then we're done. And then we leave the whole discussion about Article 4 gone. Would that be an opportunity? Would that be an option?
I could definitely live with that. And just to clarify, I wasn't suggesting that we strike bullet 2. We would, of course, need to present this to the group. I was only suggesting that we stroke our comment on bullet 2 so that we could present it and have the larger group assess the situation. But I think we by all means should definitely respect the comments and present them to the larger group. So I see that I believe Greg and Nils, you are already editing the document, so we would be just saying that the Working Party 4 believes it is more appropriate to address this issue in the bylaws. And I think that's a very nice and elegant solution to for us to move forward. Greg, your hand is up. Is that an option?
Ellen is asking to restate the current proposal. So the current proposal is WP4 believes it is more appropriate to address ICANN's human rights commitment in the bylaws.
Exactly. Okay, perfect. So next bullet point is the bylaws language shall refer to an obligation to respect human rights within the ICANN mission to avoid any demands to enforce, protect human rights. And our comment is that we fully support this suggestion. Do we have any objections to this last sentence? I see David McCauley is typing, no objection, and Greg's hand is up. Greg?
Thanks. I'm beginning to feel almost like I'm almost as bad as Cavus or Malcolm. Not that I don't appreciate their many contributions, but I generally don't try to take up quite this much air. Specifically, question first was if we could again footnote this so that we can indicate which comment or comments this came from, and the phrasing of this I think is a little awkward, which is why I wanted to go back to the comment or comments that it came from, unless this is a new thought from the working party, because I'm not sure that referring to an obligation to enforce to respect human rights necessarily avoids by itself will not lead to demands to enforce it or protect human rights. I think, and in any case, I believe our language is to respect human rights that in both cases that were suggested. So I think we just need a little more clarity around this one. I mean, this is our intention. The question is just whether it's expressed.
So would you mind suggesting an alternative wording for this, Rick?
Well, I guess, first, it would be helpful to know whether this is a – so I see it says this comes from a comment. I know the last two didn't come from comments, which is why I put them in italics. So I think we should try to do is go back to the comment itself, and then either if this is exactly what it says in the comment, I'm not exactly sure that it works. But I do agree that, you know, we're trying to draw a line between respecting human rights without turning ICANN into a human rights enforcement commission. So I reserve further comment until it kind of get back, see which comment this came from, and then can try to work with it.
Okay, good. Fair enough. So next time, I have Avery Doria. Avery?
Hi, this is Avery. My connection keeps going up and down. I just was trying to ask, it looks like there's bracketed language in this thing we're agreeing to, so I was just wondering.
Yes, Ari, there is, some bracketed language.
To Greg's question, I don't see in what way respect means enforce. I don't understand the manner in which respect could be interpreted as enforce. Those are very different concepts, and enforce, if that's what we meant to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery. We are just about to hit the end of our meeting. We have 2 minutes left, so I would just like to recap in a very quick way. We have agreed to the introduction as it is now. We have agreed to the areas of consensus as they stand now, and we have agreed to areas needing refinement, and we have almost agreed on areas of divergence. Well, actually, we have agreed on areas of divergence, and we are almost done with the options for CCWG consideration. So I think we could continue the discussion of the two last bullets, which are number 4, to ensure that there is clarity between a passive internal obligation for ICANN and an active external enforcement role. The explanatory document could lay out the difference between the role of companies to respect human rights and the role of governments to protect human rights. Here, the comment for the Working Party is that Working Party will reflect this issue in the explanatory document, which I think indeed addresses the bullet point. And then the last bullet point would be a need to discuss and bridge the divergences in the public comments concerning the choice of language and references to specific rights. This should be reflected in the explanatory document. And here our comment is that Working Party 4 recognizes this need. Discussion on choice of language will be summarized in the explanatory document. So I think we have gone through this document. We are reaching the end of the call. I think we made a lot of progress. Thank you very much to the pen holders, Niels, Tatiana, Greg, for all your comments. Of course, the rest of the attendants to this call for the fruitful discussion. Thanks, Avery, for your comments as well. And I suggest we end the call, and just as a next step, we continue fine-tuning this last section of the document and produce a clean version of the document so we can circulate it to first this Working Party list, have a proofreading of the document, and if we agree that it is a document that is good to go, then we would be forwarding it to the larger CCWG as planned before or in by our deadline, which is October the 12th. Are there any objections to move forward the way suggested? Okay. So there are no objections. So thanks, everyone, for attending this call.
Sorry, Leon, I have a quick question. Sorry, the deadline is the 12th, right? deadline is the 12th. So where are we going? When and where are we going to work on and agree on the next version? Is it in another call?
We could schedule another call. Or we could continue the discussion.
Yeah, because or do you want to do it on email? Because we need to agree on a process on how we're going to before we're going to submit this. No.
I was suggesting that we finalize this document on the list in order to not have another call scheduled, because I believe that everyone has very heavy schedules on many calls in the next days. So I would suggest that we finalize the document in the list, and we agree to it through the mailing list.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
Good. Well, thank you very much. This call is now adjourned, and talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.